Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
The American poet Edgar Albert Guest wrote, "It takes a heap of living to make a house a home." That's another way of saying there is a big difference between a house and a home. You may have visited some of the mansions of the great, such as Buckingham Palace in London, or Holyrood House in Edinburgh, or Hearst Castle in Northern California. They're interesting to look at, and we're fascinated by the people who have lived in them. But the average person would say, "No thanks, I'd prefer to live where I live right now." Why? Most mansions and castles are not very user-friendly. A friend of mine took me through his newly acquired 12-bedroom home, furnished with a splendor that rivals European castles. The place has a pool, a beautiful atrium adjacent to the kitchen, and yes, I already said it, 12 bedrooms. He explained, "Every 3 months, my wife changes our bedroom to another one in the house." Think of it, men. Kick your shoes off under the bed and forget them, and it's likely to be 3 years before you rediscover them. Now, does this seem like home to you, I ask, out of the wife's hearing? "No," he replied, "it seems more like a furniture store." What makes a house a home? It's your family. The ones you love with all of their faults and failures, your own flesh and blood. It's the love that's there because you belong to each other. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home, right? When Jesus was about to walk back the pearly staircase to heaven at the end of his life here on earth, he opened his heart and talked with the disciples about what was ahead. He spoke of my Father's house and going to prepare a dwelling place for his own. "In my Father's house," he said, "are many mansions or dwelling places." He explained that he was going there so that where I am, to use his own words, you may be also. Years ago, a man whose ministry touched several continents for God, Dwight L. Moody, was busy preparing a message when his son, then a little boy, came into the study where the father was working and sat down to play on the floor. Moody, somewhat gruffly, looked down at the little lad and said, "What is it that you want, Todd?" And the boy replied, "I don't want anything, Daddy. I just wanted to be where you are." That does more to explain what heaven will be like than about anything I can think of. Being in the presence of the Father for all eternity. Abraham Lincoln once wrote, "Going home is the end of all journeys. Did it ever occur to you that every living creature has its home? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field and forest, the creepers and the grass, all go home. Most of them turn towards it when the day wanes. The call of home is the one voice heard and respected all the way down the line of life. There must be another home somewhere to go to after we have broken camp down here. Going home," he said, "it's the end of all journeys, the one miraculous gift, the one call that's irresistible." When I first began my work as a young man, my wife and I traveled extensively. But in the lining of the old brown Samsonite suitcase we used, I took the key to my father's house and pinned it with a safety pin so it couldn't get lost. Somehow it gave me comfort to know that when we finally got home, we had the key that would unlock the door. Jesus said, "He's the key. I am the way, the truth, and the life," he said. "You come to the Father only through me."
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.